floods me with warmth. As we fall into easy conversation, I can't help but sneak glances at her from time to time. Dinner is delicious, and I'm ready to fall into a food coma when two familiar faces pop up over Tori's shoulder. "Hey, guys," I wave to Brady and Kat. Tori's head whips around, and the smile that breaks out on her face when she sees her sister is ridiculously sweet. She hops out of her chair and gives her sister and brother-in-law quick hugs.
"What are y'all doing here? I thought you were barbecuing tonight. Glad to see you, though, because I forgot my phone at Ethan's and you said to call you this evening."
I smile. Tori remembered to pack a bag of toys and diapers and crayons for the kids, but forgot her phone. Brady drops an arm over his wife's shoulders.
"We did barbecue, but Kat wanted some pie, so we decided to make a pit stop." "I shouldn't be eating pie. Trust me, I know this," Kat says self-deprecatingly.
Brady kisses the top of her head.
"You're perfect. And if my wife and kid want pie, I'm buying them pie."
She rubs her round belly and grins at him. The moment between them seems so intimate as they stare into each other's eyes. I look away. That's what I never had with Allison.
"Where's Izzy?"
Tori asks, leaning over Cody to wipe his face.
"At my parents'."
Brady motions over his shoulder.
"We're having a date night."
Tori chuckles.
"I'm coming over tomorrow, so get the date night out of your system." "Oh my God, stop."
Kat blushes and turns her face into her husband.
"What? You're pregnant? Like it's a secret how that happened? Watch out, I'm gonna tell Mom and Dad you did the deed."
It's funny to see how laid back Tori is around Kat, how much she teases her sister. Makes me realize she's still a bit buttoned up around me.
"Daddy?"
Mila scrunches her nose.
"What's the deed?"
Tori grimaces and mouths that she's sorry. I chuckle and tug on my daughter's pigtail. "Nothing you need to worry about for, about 40 years. Everyone laughs. After we chat, Brady and Kat meander over to the dessert window by the cash register, and Mila and Tori run to the bathroom in the back because my daughter realizes she really, really needs to tinkle. Logan watches the girls go, glances down at his phone, and then turns to the front of the diner. Cody squirms in his high chair, so I clean him off and settle him on my lap.
"So, what's the surprise?"
"I can't deny that I'm curious. Logan went on and on about it this afternoon. I expect him to tell me he got us a new client or something work-related, but instead of being excited, he sighs.
I didn't think this through, having everyone here."
He motions toward the bathrooms.
"Just don't be mad."
Nothing good ever happens when he says that to me. How did this go from, "Hey, I have a surprise for you," to "don't be mad"? He shifts and looks over his shoulder again. I follow his line of vision as two blondes strut through the front door. They see Logan and wave.
"You got a date with, what, sisters?"
"Let me guess, you're taking off for the weekend and want me to do everything we bulleted here." I tap on the mile-long to-do list we jotted down during dinner. The blondes stop at our table, and the younger one leans down to hug Logan, while the other one smiles at me. Now that she's close, I realize she looks familiar.
"Hi, Ethan."
And she knows my name. Logan breaks away from the woman wrapped around him to motion to the other.
"Bro, this is Sandra. Remember? She has a son about Mila's age. And this is her sister, Sage."
Shifting uncomfortably, I realize where this is headed. "Logan, don't do this." "Ladies?" I'm wondering how quickly I can pack up Cody's diaper bag and toys, which are strewn across the table. "You know what? We'd better get going. I look at my brother, hoping he understands why I'm doing this. If you want to stay, that's fine, but it's getting late. Sandra puts her hand on my shoulder.
Your son is getting so big.
He eats like a horse, I joke, trying not to be a total asshole. With one hand, I hold Cody, who squirms like he has ants in his pants, while I gather his toys with the other. Logan leans across the table and murmurs,
Let's just do this fast, okay? Before the girls get back. It'll be fine.
I'm not sure I know exactly what he's talking about, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to find out. Sandra leans closer.
Logan told me the good news.
She squeezes my shoulder again.
And what would that be?
That your divorce is almost final and you wanted to go on a date with me.
I give her an awkward smile and then shoot Logan a look.
What the fuck are you doing?
He shrugs and pats the other sister on the ass. Sage plays with his hair.
We were thinking we could do something tomorrow night if Sandra can find a babysitter.
There's my out. I don't want to hurt Sandra's feelings. I remember her situation with her ex, and I don't want to be an ass, but I'm not interested.
Actually, ladies, I don't have a babysitter.
I got you covered. Joey said she could babysit.
Logan waggles his eyebrows. Sandra squeals and scares Cody.
Ooh, yay! It's a date!
She turns to me and bats her eyelashes.
I have to confess, I've been dying to go out with you. I'm so glad we're doing this. Oh, I'm so glad you asked me out.
Fucking Logan.
Daddy?
Mila's voice is a record scratch that cuts through the noise of the diner. I close my eyes for a second before I turn to the left and see my daughter and Tori standing there. I swallow, afraid of how much they just heard.
Can this get any worse?
Tori!
Sandra goes around our table to hug her.
Jesus, they know each other?
Tori gives Sandra a weak smile that doesn't reach her eyes.
Hey, I haven't seen you since last fall. Thanks again for taking care of my son that one time. No worries,
Tori says quietly as she helps Mila back into her chair.
How are you?
Better, now that Ethan and I are going on a date this weekend. He asked me out.
Sandra trots back around to my side of the table.
No, no, no.
I try to get Tori's attention, but she's making a concerted effort to not look at me.
That's cool. Ethan's a good guy.
Tori tugs her purse over her shoulder and turns toward the front of the diner where Brady and Kat are waving by.
You know what? I think I'm going to head home with my sister. You guys don't need me, right?
Yes, I fucking need you.
Logan waves at her like a dipshit.
No, go on. Have a good weekend.
Tori, wait. I find my voice.
Can I talk to you a sec?
Cody starts to wail in my lap, and I look around for one of his toys, but I've already packed them at the bottom of his diaper bag.
Motherfuck.
Ethan, we can talk when I get back on Sunday.
She pauses.
Have fun on your date.
This is not good. But then Sandra tells her to wait. Tori turns to her, the expression on her face a mask of indifference.
Think you might be able to babysit for me again for the next time Ethan and I go out?
Oh, fuck no.
Tori looks at me, finally. I shake my head, wanting her to understand that I'm not gonna let this happen, that there's no way I'm going on a date with Sandra. But Tori doesn't get my meaning, because those hazel eyes that are usually warm and inviting glint with aloofness.
Not a prob.
Under her breath, so soft I almost don't catch it, she adds,
That's about all I'm good for, babysitting. You're the best!
Sandra hugs her, and Tori laughs. It's a cold, mirthless sound that breaks my heart a little. And then, she's gone.
Chapter 19. Tori. Are you sure you don't want some pie? My sister asks gently. It's your favorite, pecan. I shake my head and curl up tighter under the blanket. It's the middle of summer in Texas, but the hill country can get cold at night, and right now I have a chill I can't seem to shake. I'm sorry I'm crashing your date. If you can get Brady's parents to babysit tomorrow, I can probably stay at Val's. She nods, places the pie on the coffee table, and slowly lowers herself next to me on the couch. So you're really not going to tell me what happened back there? One second you were all smiles, and the next you were the roadrunner, kicking up dust with your flip-flops from speeding out the diner so fast. The words die on my lips. I'm tired of hearing myself complain about my life. So tired. I'm ready to be more, to expect more, and deserve it. And if I've only been imagining that Ethan wants me, then it's time to buck the fuck up and get over it. Even if I am hurt about his date with Sandra. My sister waits patiently, like always. Men confuse me, I offer lamely. I never know if I'm coming or going, and I'm so over it. Her soft hand reaches out and holds mine in quiet solidarity. Things aren't working out with Ethan. No, and I can't even back out of this job because I've already sublet my place in Austin. Not that I want to leave you, but you know I'm no good with conflict. Maybe slashing Jamie's tires last summer was a tad over the top, but I figured he owed me for emotional distress. Ethan doesn't make me feel that degree of lunacy. Yet. Which is why I should get my heart on lockdown before I get so riled up. I'll be polite to him and eat dinner with his family, since he's already asked me to, but I'm not hanging out with him alone anymore. I need to be smart and protect myself. She squeezes my hand. You're just passionate. When you love someone, you give your whole heart. I'm tired of giving my whole heart. I want to not give a shit. I lean my head on her shoulder and close my eyes. Can I offer some unsolicited advice? I nod and wait for her to unload her big sister wisdom on me. Before you write off Ethan, give him a chance to explain. I don't know what happened between you guys, and I don't expect you to tell me, but men make mistakes, even when they care about you. I can't bring myself to tell her the reality of the situation, that he's going on a date with Sandra tomorrow night, that I shouldn't care because nothing happened between us. We didn't sleep together. We didn't mess around. Hello, he never even kissed me. But I thought we were becoming friends and that maybe he liked me. That maybe he wanted more. No, he wants more with Sandra. I'm just the nanny, someone he was probably buttering up so I'd take good care of his kids. Or maybe he thought I was someone he could fuck on the side but not get invested. All of this makes me feel like a bigger loser, but I don't want to underscore the sad state of my non-existent love life to my sister. How did you know Brady was the one? I don't know where the question comes from, but I feel like a boat without a rudder, and I have no clue how to maneuver these waters. A big dopey smile lifts her lips, and her hands gravitate to her swollen tummy. You know how in art, they say the negative space in a painting or drawing is just as important as the image itself? In fact, sometimes the negative space is an image unto itself. Okay. Please connect the dots for me, Kat, because I have no clue what you mean. Brady is my negative space, Or maybe I'm his. But the best thing about negative space is how it changes your whole perspective of the composition once you can appreciate that component. It becomes more, almost like it's breathing and changing before your very eyes. One minute, you think you're seeing one image, and the next, it's different. And no matter what the images show, they always fit together perfectly. Like those weird pics on Facebook where you can't tell if the image is an elephant or a butterfly. I'm embarrassed to suggest it because I'm probably wrong. I laugh awkwardly. I'm gonna have to mull that over. This is why she's the smart sister. Kat reaches over to the coffee table and hands me a piece of pie. Mull it over with some pie. Pie always makes everything better. I smile and shovel in a big bite. This is why you're my favorite sister. I'm your only sister, doofus. And I love you the most.
Chapter 20. Ethan. The whole evening wears on me, like the brakes on a car grinding. With Allison coming tomorrow to pick up the kids, I can't keep them out late to chase after my pissed-off nanny. At least, I think she's pissed off. I cringe when I think of her response to Sandra. That's about all I'm good for, babysitting. With a patience I don't really possess, I tuck each of my children into bed, read them their bedtime stories, and cuddle, the whole time wondering how I fix this. Tori probably thinks I played her all week, that I was trying to get in her pants, that I don't really care. The second the kids are asleep, I stride into the living room and yank the remote out of Logan's hand. What the hell were you doing tonight? Why would you set me up with Sandra in front of Mila? I don't say the rest in front of Tori. What? He shrugs and returns his attention to the TV, which I flick off. Mila seemed fine, and you told me you'd go out with Sandra. The hell I did. Bro, for real. Week before last, when I asked you about Sandra, you said you'd go out on a date. I stare at him as I collapse on the couch, wondering if he spent too much time in the sun. He snaps his finger in my face. It was the first day Tori brought you lunch. A long minute passes.
Really?
Yes, dumbass, really. Groaning, I run my hand over my face. My idiot brother laughs. Why are you acting like I'm making you haul horseshit instead of thanking me for setting you up with a gorgeous woman? I thought you wanted me to explore this thing with Tori. Surprise registers on his face.
Have you fucked her?
Don't talk about her like that. Anger burns hot through my body, way hotter than it probably should.
Fine.
Raising his voice so he sounds like a prepubescent boy, he asks,
have you made love to her?
I smack him with my baseball cap. No, not that it's any of your business, but we've been hanging out.
Is hanging out code for some other sexual activity?
Oral? Anal? With a devilish grin, he adds,
you know, some girls don't consider anal to be sex.
This is why every father in a 20-mile radius locks up his daughter when Logan Carter's around. Undeterred by my scowl, he elbows me.
Bro, if things are moving forward with Tori, why didn't you say something to me? Every time I brought her up this week, you changed the subject. In fact, when she came home last weekend, you told me you weren't making a play for her.
Have you considered that maybe I wanted to keep it to myself? That this is personal, and I don't feel like announcing shit to you so you can make light of it? Even now, I don't like talking about this. Not when everything with Tori is so new. A beat goes by before he scratches his head.
Tori didn't seem like it was a big deal, you going out with Sandra.
Sure she didn't, I say dryly. He lifts his chin.
You falling for her?
Shrugging, I lean back.
I like the girl. Isn't that enough? She's fun and sweet and beautiful, and she doesn't make me feel like an asshole for working long hours. Does that meet with your approval, Mr. Dating Expert?
This answer doesn't appease him like I think it should, because his brows pull tight.
What about this isn't working for you, Logan? You're the one who suggested I hang out with Tori in the first place.
I'm worried, okay?
Why are you worried?
I point the remote back to the TV, ready to tune him out.
Because this sounds serious all of a sudden, and you're only now getting out of a goddamn marriage. One you didn't want, I might add, and you're already diving into something else that's way too ambitious. I thought you might get up close and horizontal with Tori, not fall for her.
Now I'm getting pissed.
Why are you saying I didn't want my marriage? I busted my ass to make it work with Allison.
Calm your tits.
He waves his hand like he's trying to figure out what to say.
Can you honestly say you would have married Allison if she hadn't gotten pregnant?
That gives me pause. I drag my palm across my chin.
It's hard to say. After graduation, she wanted to return to Dallas to be near her family, and I always planned on coming home. We hadn't discussed anything serious before Mila came along, but I always cared for her.
That's my point. Had she not gotten pregnant, you guys would have gone your separate ways.
Maybe. All this talk about relationships is making me anxious. I finally flip on the TV, click the DVR, and immediately regret it when the Astros game from last night flashes on the screen. Logan clears his throat.
Sorry if I messed things up with Tori. I swear I didn't know you really had a thing for her, beyond thinking she was hot.
If there's any consolation, it's that my brother is more clueless sometimes than I am.
You gonna call her?
Already tried. She's not picking up. He bumps my elbow.
Try again. You know you wanna.
I do. Reaching for my back pocket, I slide out my phone and hit her name. It rings. Once. Twice. Logan and I look at each other when we feel buzzing, and then down at the couch. He reaches behind a cushion to pull out Tori's phone. That explains why she's not picking up. He scrolls through the messages visible on the lock screen, the nosy jerk.
Don't snoop. I snatch it out of his hand and toss it on the coffee table.
She's popular, bro. All her friends want her to go out this weekend.
He tries to show me, but I wave him off.
I'm only saying you better get on this stat before she...
His voice fades, and I turn to him. Before she what?
Before she hooks up with someone else.
My fists ball up at my sides.
I already told you not to talk about her like that. Besides, what makes you think she's gonna run out and hook up with someone else?
Doesn't she think you're taking out Sandra?
He lets the question hang in the air.
Gotta talk to her before Tori writes you off. That's all I'm saying.
Well, shit. Hadn't thought about it like that. I reach for his beer, which he lets me have without complaint.
I thought you didn't want me to date Tori.
No. I said I was worried about you getting serious about Tori. I'm all for hooking up.
Rolling my eyes, I punch him in the side.
You give the worst advice.
I still love you, numbnuts. He pretends to sniffle and wipes fake tears.
Love you too, bro. Now, how are we gonna get your girl back?
I shouldn't like the way that sounds, my girl, considering I haven't even kissed her yet. But damn if I don't want to soon.
Chapter 21. Tori. This bar is like so many I worked at throughout college. Dark and seedy, smelling of spilled beer and cheap cologne. But I like it, because tonight I want to blend in, which isn't hard since I don't know half of the people Vivian invited. Laughter booms behind me, and I turn to see my best friend holding court at our table, which is filled with a bevy of beautiful people. My eyes drop to the short pleated skirt I'm wearing, and I tug the hem, which doesn't budge. It matches the sparkly, bustier-like tank top that makes guys take notice. I'm not in the mood to have my body on display, but I had to borrow clothes because I didn't have anything nice to wear. Viv thought dressing up would cheer me up. It doesn't. Neither does the bluesy, heartbreaking Rihanna tune blaring through the sound system. Viv's motto is, "Fuck till you forget," but I don't think I have that in me. I feel men's eyes on me, and it makes my skin crawl. I toss back the rest of the mojito before leaning over the bar to order another and reluctantly rejoin Viv's table. At least I'm not the designated driver. As the night wears on, the alcohol spreads through me until the smile on my face is more genuine, until I'm not totally faking it. Until that ache I felt when I realized Ethan had a date with another woman ebbs away a little. When I'm wondering how many more drinks it'll take before my lips go numb, Viv links her arm through mine. Time to dance! I let her drag me to the back of the bar and down a dark corridor that opens up to a cavernous room, where the club lights are low and the music thumps my internal organs. Viv wraps me in a hug. I've missed you, she screams in my ear to be heard over the music. Missed you too. I'm so glad Kat had your number. Am I ever? She saved it the last time I got locked out of the dorms. Viv laughs. Weren't you in a t-shirt and underwear? I shrug. It covered my ass. Mostly. She can't criticize me for that lapse in judgment. Her antics usually exceed mine exponentially. We dance until we're sweaty and I'm loose-limbed, but when a remix of 21 Pilots' song Stressed Out blares through the speakers, it hits me all at once. How sad it is that I got through almost 4 years of college but didn't finish, that I'm a 23-year-old babysitter. That the guy I'm working for was probably only hitting on me because I was convenient. Oh, God. I've turned into one of those depressed drunks. After trading in my mojito for ice water, I try to shake off this persistent funk, but it settles like a fog, thick and suffocating. How much have I had to drink? Sticky bodies bump into us. And I'm ready to walk back to Viv's condo alone if she's not ready to go. I turn and almost run headfirst into some preppy-looking guy. He smiles, and I try to return it, but my face doesn't want to comply. I glance around and realize Viv and I must have migrated away from each other during the last song because she's talking to someone several feet away. Preppy leans into me. Dance with me, pretty girl. My first impulse is to decline, but then I remember how easy it was for Ethan to go out with another woman. Sure. My new friend is handsome, tall with black hair and a cute smile that sadly does nothing for me. Thankfully, my body moves to the music automatically, the driving rhythm animating my limbs when all I want to do is crawl into bed and veg out in my pajamas. I'm already glistening with sweat, but I'm breathing hard by the time the beat breaks into a new song 5 minutes later. As I'm twisting my long hair back and out of my face, the guy moves closer. I'm David. He yells as his hungry eyes take me in. I take a step back, realizing I don't want to go down this road. Ethan might not want me, but I'm not interested in hooking up with anyone else. 18-year-old me would have been delighted to kiss away bad memories, but the college dropout me is tired of this crap. The club lights strobe, engulfing the room in darkness when they shift away. I scan the crowd for my friends, but I can't make out more than bodies and long shadows. Thanks for the dance, but I have to go.
Wait! I thought we were having fun!
He wraps his hand around my wrist, and I shake my head. Sorry, I can't. I start to walk away, but he yanks me back, and I stumble into him. What the fuck? He did not just grab me. His meaty hand slides up my arm, and I'm opening my mouth to bitch him out for touching me when he flies backward, flailing into people on the way down. I gawk at the guy who's sprawled on the floor. My skin tingles, and I glance over my shoulder. Beneath the flickering strobe lights, I see him. Ethan. He steps closer, his brows furrowed as the music drops out, leaving the steady beat of the drum.
You okay?
Somehow, over the din of the club, I hear his rumbling voice. He's here. My chest swarms with boozy-headed butterflies. I blink, wondering if I'm imagining him. But nope, he's here. He takes a step closer and gently grazes his fingers across my arm where David gripped me.
Tori.
The way he's looking at me, like he's worried and pissed and maybe misses me, makes me want to snatch that kiss I never got the other night. Yes, kissing. I definitely want to do that with Ethan. Except he's probably here with Sandra, on his date. I'm fine. Crossing my arms, I nod toward David, who is stomping away through the crowd. I can take care of myself. You didn't need to do that. I work to keep my words from running all together into one incoherent strand of syllables. Begrudgingly, I take in Ethan. It's hard not to notice how mouth-watering he looks in dark jeans and a button-up. I've never seen him in anything other than old t-shirts. He must have made an effort to look good tonight. Dick. I glance away, not wanting him to see that I'm hurt. Come Monday morning, when I'm taking care of his kids, I can pretend I'm cool. But right now, I still feel the hot sting of rejection. Ethan gently lifts my chin so I'm forced to look into his eyes.
Did you want him touching you?
Reluctantly, I shake my head, but I have to close my eyes when the room tilts one way and then the other. He leans closer.
You sure you're okay?
Those magnetic blue eyes stare down at me. Why does he have to have such beautiful eyes? My words come out too quickly for me to temper the anger in my voice. I'm great. You can go back to your date. I barely hold in a wince at how whiny I sound, but it's hard to sound smart when I'm buzzed. Slowly, his hands lift to my shoulders, but he backs away until he can make eye contact.
You think I'm on a date?
Really? He wants to play games. I barely hold in a hiccup. Aren't you? Isn't that why you're here? I motion toward him. Why you're dressed up? His eyes crinkle like he's keeping in a smile before his attention dips down my body, but I can't hear what he says because the music is too loud. Ignoring the way I heat under his perusal, I shrug out of his hold. By the way, it's pretty rude to check out other girls when you're here with... God, what's her name? With Sandra. That's it. Maybe you should find her. Except the thought of it enrages me, and I can't help but bite out the next words, which I punctuate by poking his chest. For the record, I'm not gonna fuck you like a side piece while you date other women.
If that's what you're looking for, you've got the wrong girl. And are you really getting a divorce, or are you running around behind her back?
That giant hand wraps around the finger I'm poking him with, and he pulls me close.
So fucking feisty.
He laughs and leans down to whisper in my ear.
My divorce goes through in less than a week. I've been separated for a year, but things between my wife and I crashed and burned long before that. And I promise I'm not on a date, sweetheart. I'm here for you.
What? I'm so confused. But he doesn't answer my question. He merely takes my arms, winds them around his neck, and tugs me flush against his body. His big, hard body. That deep voice rumbles in my ear.
Your sister told me where I could find you.
He kisses my temple.
I came for you. To find you.
Those sick, drunk butterflies are back and battle around my stomach. I peer up to find myself nose to nose with him. You came here for me? He smiles. He came here for me. I smile back like a loser. The music shifts to something sultry that heightens my lust-filled fog. You're not here with Sandra? Because buzzed Tori needs everything to be crystal clear. Ethan's eyes soften as he nestles me closer until our lips are a breath apart.
I swear, that was more a misunderstanding between me and Logan. Why would I be here with another woman when you're all I've thought about since you barged into my life like a damn tornado?
I laugh, and it feels so good, so warm, like I've stumbled across a sliver of sunlight on a rainy day. You must be a glutton for punishment. With Lana Del Rey's burning desire swelling around us, I'm ready to scale up Ethan's delicious body. Sweet delight pulses through me at the thought. Until a faint voice, one that's thrashing around in my head, trying not to drown from the alcohol, cautions me against doing anything rash. Against doing anything naked. Because naked gets my heart in trouble. Plus, don't I deserve a better explanation for what happened at the diner last night? Even buzzed, I know this. But then his lips brush against my ear, and he whispers,
I'm a glutton for anything that involves you.
Just like that, my resolve to keep some distance snaps.
Chapter 22. Ethan. Tori's smile gets me every time. I'm not sure I even deserve it. Soft, smooth skin greets my rough palm when I drag my hand over her slender shoulder. Let's get out of here. I rasp in her ear, hoping she hears me over the music. The way those gorgeous hazel eyes heat beneath my stare makes the trek to the city worth it. I hate clubs, loathe them. But I'd haul my ass to Austin again to have her look at me like this, with fondness and vulnerability and desire, with the kind of intensity that makes my blood heat and my fingers itch to delve beneath the teasing hem of her skirt. She nods, but holds up a finger and motions for me to follow her through the crowd. We stop in front of a group of people, and she leans over to whisper to another girl, whose eyes dart to me. Then Tori grabs my hand and leads me to the exit. A bouncer opens the door to let us out to the back parking lot. Warm air and the scent of barbecue and cedar hits our faces as we stroll into the dark.
Guess I should have asked where you parked, Tori says, turning toward me.
She starts to let go of my hand, but I tighten my hold. This way. After having music blare in my ear for the last hour while I scanned the crowd for her, the quiet seems more amplified, making me feel like tonight, this moment, is important.
I keep stealing glances at her. She's almost too much to take in at one time. Stunning is the word that comes to mind. All that crazy hair, those long legs, her big golden eyes, that playful personality. She sneaks a peek at me and gives me a shy smile. Damn it. I like this girl, and how she's all bluster and ball-busting when she's pissed, but sweet and vulnerable at other times, like now. It's written all over her face how glad she is that I came for her, and fuck, that does something to me. Once we're along the edge of the lot, my truck comes into view. Darling, how much have you had to drink? I trace her knuckles with my thumb, not willing to let go of her. We meander a few paces, our steps crunching on the gravel, before she answers me.
A bit.
When we arrive at my truck, I slide my gaze to her as I fiddle with my keys. What does that mean?
It means I'm happily buzzed and not shit-faced.
She laughs and rocks back, tucking her hands behind her.
I stopped drinking half an hour ago. Why?
I reach around, wrapping her wrists in my palm before I crowd her against my truck. Too buzzed to do this? Lowering my head, I hover near her and wait for her to ward me off. But instead, her breath catches and she arches toward me. Lightly, I brush my lips against hers. When I pull away, she exhales. More. I smile and lean in, except this time I graze her neck and breathe her in. Breathe in the sweet scent of coconuts and something floral. Goosebumps break out on her skin, and I nibble the curve of her shoulder and suck. She swallows.
Let go of my wrists.
The urgency in her voice makes me comply immediately. I'd never want to force her to do something that makes her uncomfortable. But before I can step back, her arms wind around my neck, and she pulls me closer, lifting her leg to my hip to fit our bodies together. I don't have time to be surprised before her hand tangles in my hair and yanks hard to line up my mouth in front of hers.
You owe me a kiss from the other night.
She whispers, a sexy-as-hell smile teases her lips before they sweep against mine. Fuck. Nothing turns me on like a woman who knows what she wants. Her mouth opens to me on a soft sigh. My tongue slides against hers, and she moans, the sound making me rock hard. I run my palm against her thigh, which she squeezes against me. For a tiny thing, she has long damn legs. Legs I'd like to wrap around my face. She tastes sweet, like sugar and lime and tequila. So it pains me to stop and untangle myself from her. When the tips of my fingers reach the curve of her perfect peachy ass, I do just that.
What's wrong?
She asks quietly.
Just meant to kiss you, honey.
Clearing my throat, I slide her leg down and fix her skirt. Even though I really want to acquaint myself with what she has going on under that particular clothing item. As gracefully as I can, I rearrange my hard-on. Doesn't mean I don't want to get you all kinds of naked, but not tonight. Not if you've been drinking. She glares at me.
Seriously?
I kiss her again. Seriously. Her eyes lower to my groin before she grins and palms me.
This for me?
Her grip is perfect. So is that stroke. Clenching my eyes, I let out a breath. God, grant me the patience to not fuck her against my Ford. Please and thank you. 110%. I groan before taking her hand from my dick, who's cursing me out and calling me a traitor. I skim my lips over her wrist. Besides,
I want to explain what happened last night at the diner. Her eyes soften, and she nods and leans up to kiss me.
Your place or mine? Oh, wait, they're the same.
I chuckle, relieved, turned the fuck on, and grateful to have another chance with this woman. I hope I don't blow it this time. About an hour later, with our legs dangling off the tailgate of my pickup truck and the view of my barn looming before us, she nudges me with her elbow.
Pancakes after a night of mojitos was the best idea ever.
Tori licks her finger.
I'm sticky, though.
I ignore the dirty thoughts that spring to mind when she says the word sticky and reach for my water bottle. Glad you enjoyed it. Wasn't sure if they'd be any good. On the way home, I pulled into an all-night truck stop and got us two orders of pancakes and bacon because I thought she might want some food to soak up that alcohol. Needing to get this off my chest, I blurt out my apology. I'm sorry about last night for not clearing up the confusion with Sandra. This might have been easier when Tori was buzzed, but I like knowing she's probably not at this point. I explain my brother's good intentions and how I must have done a decent job of keeping whatever was happening between me and Tori a secret, so Logan hadn't known I didn't want to go on any blind dates. I called Sandra last night and canceled our plans. Rubbing the back of my neck, I tell Tori how I hadn't wanted to embarrass the woman and back out of the date in front of everyone. But knowing how things played out, I should have done things differently. Tori's quiet for a minute.
I understand. That was thoughtful of you. I wouldn't want you to bail on me in front of everyone either.
She worries her bottom lip.
I'm sorry I stomped off.
With a shrug, she glances out over the pasture.
I'm not great at communicating when I get upset. I tend to overreact, as you well know.
My heart does this trippy little thing in my chest. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. My words are a whisper, but I've never meant anything more.
I'd like to make it up to you. Turning, she looks up at me with those big doe eyes, a smile playing on her lips.
You mean by doing more than driving to Austin in the middle of the night and feeding me pancakes?
A small price to pay.
I don't know what it is about Tori that makes me want to take risks when I was pretty sure getting into something with a woman was the last damn thing I'd ever want again a few weeks ago.
Thanks for feeding me. I love pancakes.
Scooting back and reclining on the thick blanket I situated before we hopped up here on the flatbed of my truck, she lets out a contented sigh.
You can make up almost any offense with a good helping of sugar and carbs.
My pleasure. Before I forget, I pause to reach into my back pocket. Thought you might need this.
You found my phone.
I think she's reaching for it, but instead she grabs my wrist and pulls me down onto the blanket next to her. Chuckling, I brace myself on my elbow.
You make me laugh, I whisper as I brush a strand of mermaid hair out of her face.
Yeah?
Nodding, I dip my finger down her neck and over the delicate strap of her top.
Logan says I never laugh anymore, but you make me laugh.
I've just put you under my spell with my cooking. It's been my evil plan all along.
She blinks up with playfulness, tilting her lips, and I'm overwhelmed by how right this feels. For some reason, I want to remember every detail of this moment, how she glows in the moonlight, how the chirp of crickets swells in the meadow around us, how the scent of cedar and wet earth permeates the air. And, for the first time in years,
How alive I feel. With her wild hair going every which way, her sleepy, dreamy eyes staring up at me through those thick lashes, and her skirt barely clinging to the tops of her thighs, I'm inclined to agree. This woman is wielding some powerful magic. Clearing my throat, I lean in closer. Whatever it is, I think I'm addicted. She hums in the back of her throat.
I like the sound of that.
Our eyes meet. Do you do this often? Hypnotize men with your spells? It's her turn to laugh. The soft, sultry sound hits me square in the chest.
I haven't had great luck in the relationship department, so my spells might need some work.
Her confession surprises me. Tori is a drop-dead beautiful woman. Feisty as all get out and playful as sin. I'm not sure why men aren't falling at her feet, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to change her look. And maybe mine, too. She toys with the button on my shirt.
Have you wooed many women in the back of this truck?
Can't say that I have. If anything, I'm pretty rusty when it comes to all this. Been out of the dating scene for a long time.
I thought country boys were all about seducing women with their big trucks and southern charm.
I drag my finger along the hollow of her throat, loving the way her breath picks up. You looking to test out my stick shift? Her sexy laugh draws me closer.
If you think you can handle my speed.
I'm pretty sure we're not talking about my Ford. When my lips graze hers, I tell her the truth. I'd love to find out.
Chapter 23. Tori. Above us, 10,000 stars shine bright in the night sky. Parked in the pasture, with my arms full of this man as we make out in the bed of his truck, I'm a bundle of contradictions. Burning hot, but shivering. Terrified, but trusting. Overwhelmed, but wanting. The stubble on his square jaw tickles my skin, and I lean into the kiss, needing to feel everything he can give me. I don't care that the rigid steel beneath me bites through the quilt and into my back. I don't care that this thing between us could go wrong in 100 different ways. I don't care that I could fall way too hard for him. I'm so tired of protecting myself. I want one night where I can feel him and touch him and let myself go and not be fearful of getting hurt. The breeze cuts through my poor excuse for an outfit, but Ethan's warm body hovering so near heats my skin, even though he's leaning over me, bracing himself a respectable distance away, keeping himself from tumbling into me. But his hot kisses make me desperate for more. "Come closer," I mumble against his lips. He pauses, looking down at me with so much desire in his eyes I could incinerate right here. I'm not buzzed anymore, and I need you to come closer. Right now. A smirk breaks out on his face.
Demanding little thing, aren't you?
I let myself take him in. His disheveled hair that I've thoroughly finger-fucked. His 5 o'clock shadow that scratches against my palm. Those perfectly sculpted lips, wet from my kisses. I'm demanding when I know what I want, and at this moment, more than anything, it's you. The relief I feel from saying those words is immediate. I never used to be someone who held back, either with what I thought or felt, but the last year has messed with my head. Right now, though, in this dark field, wrapped in Ethan's arms, I feel safe. And I have to take a chance, just one. Leaning up, I graze his lips with mine. I want you so much. He brushes his nose against mine.
Want you too, sweetness.
Emotion swells in my body, making me hope for things I probably shouldn't wish for. One night, I remind myself. Take a chance tonight. Don't think about tomorrow. Slowly, I pull back. Those blue eyes darken as he watches my hands work the buttons on my bustier that runs from between my breasts all the way down to my waist. When I'm done, I return my hands to my sides and wait. An eternity passes as his eyes travel down me, lingering where my top barely clings to the crests of my curves and back up again. His deep voice breaks the silence with a raspy whisper.
You're just about the most beautiful thing I've ever seen with your clothes on. Not sure how you're gonna rock my world if I take this top off you.
A white-hot spark surges between us when I stare into his eyes. Maybe we should find out. I wonder if he can hear my heart beating against my ribs. Touch me, Ethan. He holds my stare as his rough palm wraps around my shoulder and slides down one strap of my top, then the other, until I feel the breeze on my bare skin. When he glances down this time, his hungry groan flares the delirium burning in my veins.
Fuck, you have an incredible body.
His fingers ghost over me, test the weight of me in one big palm before he squeezes my breast. God, yes, harder. Like he senses what I need, he complies until his fingers almost bruise, where his hold rides that border between pleasure and pain. Perfection. I let out a sigh of delight and pull him closer. His powerful thigh wedges between mine, and everything pulses in me when I feel him hard and thick against my hip. Wordlessly, I undo the buttons of his shirt because I need to feel his heat against mine. When his shirt is off, all I can do is admire his strength that doesn't come from obsessing in the gym, but from long hours working on his ranch, from his dedication to his family business. And damn if that doesn't make me like him more. Strained muscles bend and flex over me as he settles himself fully between my legs, the weight of him nearly making my eyes roll back in my head. Which is when I realize how much larger he is than anyone I've ever been with. Above me, his beautiful broad shoulders blot out the stars and sky. His hand stretches across the expanse of my stomach. I have to wiggle my hips to make him fit between my thighs. Who says you can have too much of a good thing? It's not possible. Because Ethan feels divine. Hard to my soft, rough to my smooth. I breathe in his cologne and the scent of leather that clings to his skin before our mouths connect, and I indulge in languid, deep kisses that turn fierce and desperate. When we break apart, he dips his head to my neck and takes one long suck that has me moaning into the quiet night. It's too much and not enough. I writhe beneath him, out of my mind when he palms my thigh and thrusts against me, out of my mind when he sucks my nipple into his hot mouth, out of my mind when he reaches between my legs. An appreciative growl rumbles in his chest.
I love that you're so wet,
he mutters against me. Of course I'm wet. I want to tell him how much he turns me on, but my mouth can't form words. Leaning back, he bunches my skirt at my waist and traces the damp fabric between my legs again. When he pulls the pink lace to the side, I spread my legs more and let him look. I want him to look. I want him to see what he does to me.
Love this, baby. Love that you're bare,
he groans. His eyes stay pinned to where his finger rubs me in small circles. Oh my God. My breath stutters, and I reach for my breasts to pinch my nipples, wanting that bite of pain. I'm close, so close that when he slides a thick finger into me, I gasp. Yes, yes, yes. The word leaves my lips, increasing like a crescendo when he adds a second finger. But it's the first swipe of his tongue that leaves me breathless. My chant grows louder, unintelligible, a guttural garble of pleasure and pleading. I thread my fingers through his hair and hold him to me. Brazenly lift my hips for more, tense and strain as I climb, until I'm on the edge. The sound of him licking me seems so dirty, but feels so right that I can't help but cry out when he finds that perfect rhythm, filling me deep and hard, but stroking me so softly with his wet mouth. In a burst, I come apart, the dark sky turning a brilliant white behind my clenched eyes. It's a long minute before I can move, during which a million emotions bubble up behind my breastbone. The most urgent one crystallizes when Ethan moves over me. I want more. So much more than one night.
Chapter 24. Ethan. Let me just say that when a beautiful woman comes apart in your arms, it makes you take stock of your life. A few weeks ago, I was miserable. No two ways about it. Miserable that I hadn't been able to keep my family together. Miserable that I was working so much. Miserable that life hadn't turned out the way I planned. Right now, though, despite the painful erection biting into the zipper of my jeans, I feel pretty damn content. Tori pants, laughing, the sound musical. Wiping my mouth with my forearm, I slide down next to her and pull her close. She nestles into me, wrapping her arm around my neck and throwing her leg over my thigh. I caress the smooth expanse of her back, enamored by her soft skin and the sweet scent of her hair. Clearing my throat, I tell her the truth. I'm not sure if messing around in my truck in the back pasture is the most romantic thing ever or supremely low class. She hums.
That's easy. Super romantic and adventurous. And I love adventures.
I chuckle, completely charmed by her free spirit. Noted. Tori is so unlike the women I've been with before. I wasn't lying when I told her she wasn't really my type. Why I've always dated high-maintenance women is beyond me, because being with this girl, who is laid back and fun, is fucking addictive. Allison would have died twice had I suggested cuddling in the back of my truck under the stars. Tori shivers in my arms, and I rub her shoulders to warm her. I'm an ass. Here you are freezing to death. We should go inside. But her immediate reaction makes me smile.
No. I love it out here. Let's stay longer.
Through the back window of the cab, I reach for another blanket, toss it over us, and pull her close. When her bare chest touches mine, I have to bite back a groan because she feels so damn good. Completely addictive. Threading my fingers through her thick hair, I whisper, "So, I guess this means you're reconsidering that whole not even if you're the last man on earth speech you gave me a few weeks ago?"
"Oh, God."
She presses her lips to my chest as she snickers.
"You have to know I've always thought you were hot as hell, even when we were arguing."
I like to think of myself as a fairly confident guy, but I'd be lying if I said that compliment doesn't feel good coming from her. She glances up at me, her hair tumbling over her chest like she's my own X-rated mermaid.
"If you hadn't opened your mouth that first day we met, I'm pretty sure I'd have taken you on your kitchen counter."
Smirking, I kiss her. "And if you hadn't opened your mouth, I'm pretty sure I'd have let you." Crawling on me, she nibbles on my neck, bites my ear, licks my bottom lip. I'm praying for some restraint when she says,
"We should do this all the time. I bet we could squeeze in a quickie during the seventh inning stretch."
Have I mentioned I love that she watches baseball? Baby, I'm impossibly hard right now, so I'm not sure I can handle you talking baseball and sex in the same sentence.
Then maybe we should get to the sex.
As her hands go to my belt, I reach for her wrists to stop her. Call me old-fashioned, but when I do things with this woman, I want to do them right.
What's wrong?
Those big eyes turn up to me. Nothing's wrong, just...
Damn, how do I say this?
I didn't find you tonight so I could get laid. Though heaven knows I'd really enjoy it.
Okay, but... you don't want to?
I'm wrestling with how to say what's on my heart when she starts to pull away. But I'm too fast for her, and I wrap my arms around her tiny waist and fit her against my chest. Fuck yes, I want to. I stroke her hair and press a kiss to her forehead. Clearing my throat, I blurted out, "In exactly 3 days, my divorce will be finalized." Tori stops breathing, so I kiss her again. And while I'd love nothing more than to fuck you until you can't walk straight, when we do eventually take that step, I don't want shit from my past hanging over me. Does that make sense?
Please let that make sense.
I barely understand why I'm turning her down right now, except I want things with Tori to be perfect. A long, quiet minute passes, during which half of me wants to kick my own ass for not being one of those guys who can shut down the shit in his head and fuck like it's a recreational sport.
No, I get it.
Another awkward silence ensues until she pushes off me and reaches for her top.
You know, Ethan, if you didn't want to do this with me, you didn't have to. I feel stupid, like I just threw myself at you and...
She doesn't get to finish those words because half a second later she's pinned underneath me.
Honey, you feel that right now?
Looking straight into her eyes, I grind my hips into her so she can see exactly how much I want her.
You make me come undone. From the moment you strutted into my house, you have occupied most of my thoughts, half of my dreams, and at least two-thirds of my future plans, so do not for 1 minute think I'm not dying to be with you.
The hard look in her eyes goes hazy, and I graze her lips with mine.
When we do this, preferably in about 3.5 days, I'll be 100% yours to do with as you please.
That gets me a small smile before her expression turns solemn.
I'm sorry.
She blows out a deep breath.
You're right. Of course, we should wait.
Nodding, she leans up to kiss me, but this time it's sweet and soft.
I actually really respect your decision.
She looks like she wants to say something else, but doesn't. We're quiet again, and while I'm glad she understands where I'm coming from, I don't want this serious vibe to overshadow the fun we've had tonight, so I nuzzle against her neck and nibble her soft skin.
Just so we're clear, though, you make me fucking crazy.
My cock might never forgive me for waiting. And then I tickle her until she's howling with laughter, and the smile on her face makes my heart knock painfully against my chest.
This girl's gonna be the end of me, but I don't think I care.
Chapter 25. Tori.
Morning, sweetness. Ethan's deep voice sends chills down my arms. Unable to summon the energy to respond, I grumble against his neck and snuggle closer to the big, warm body at my side.
His chest rumbles against me with barely contained laughter.
Not a morning person, hmm?
Too early, I groan. His enormous hand strokes my back, and I smile against his stubbled jaw. Damn, it's nice waking up with him. After a few minutes, I blink into the bright light of day, wondering how the hell we slept through the night in the flat bed of his truck. But then I remember the half-dozen mojitos I downed before we got the pancakes, and I have my answer. Alcohol, carbs, and a mind-blowing orgasm threw me headlong into a coma. Once I'm more awake, I'm about to tell Ethan how much I enjoyed spending time with him, even if it meant sleeping in the truck, when Logan's grinning face pops up over the side. Well, 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 what do we have here? Logan lets out a low whistle, perks up an eyebrow, and hangs his arms over the ledge like he's just going to hang out here and shoot the shit. Before I can register the shock of seeing him, Ethan pulls the blanket over me.
The fuck? You ever heard of privacy? Get out of here.
Logan laughs.
Pretty sure you lost the right to privacy when you guys banged like bunnies on our back lawn, bro. There was no banging,
Ethan says gruffly.
No? Then what's this?
I peek out the blanket and find Logan dangling my top off his index finger. Ethan growls.
You want to lose that fucking finger?
Boys, they get so rambunctious. I kiss Ethan's cheek, loving that he's all up in arms about my virtue, which I'm pretty sure flew out the window of my high school boyfriend's Mustang. Snatching my top, I pull it under the covers and rustle it on. We were playing Naked Twister. You should try it sometime. It's really good for flexibility. Logan laughs at my joke, but Ethan is still growly. I'm so preoccupied with the brothers' silent back-and-forth conversation that I don't hear the car door or the female voice until the blonde steps up next to Logan. I needed to bring the kids back early. What's going on? The woman stops mid-sentence when she sees me and a shirtless Ethan. Oh, crap. Allison. I'm still buttoning my top, but it's obvious what Ethan and I were doing since his hair looks like I yanked on it all night. While he was giving me the best oral sex of my life, for the record. Part of me is eating him up with my eyes, those sexy tattoos, his broad chest, those sexy as fuck stomach muscles. While the other part of me is a smidge terrified over what's about to go down. And damn, did I leave that hickey on him last night? I don't remember sucking his shoulder, but I must have. He makes me bitey. Slowly, with a piercing scowl, Allison turns to Ethan.
What the fuck is this?
Logan chuckles.
I'm pretty sure you covered sex in health class. When a man is interested in a woman...
Shut the fuck up, Logan! She waves in my direction while shooting another death glare at Ethan.
This? Her? What's she doing here when I told you I was bringing the kids back early?
Ethan scoffs as he snatches up his rumpled shirt and slips it over his arms.
When you texted me last night and said you were bringing them back early, I assumed that meant in the afternoon, not first thing in the morning.
Her eyes flit to me and then back to Ethan.
It's 9 a.m., when was the last time you slept this late in your life? I didn't think it would be a problem. That's just it, Allison. You didn't think.
Ethan's voice brims with frustration.
Everything's always about you, your schedule, your life, your priorities. What happened to taking the kids to the zoo today?
She rolls her eyes.
It'll still be there next month. What's the big deal? It's going to be too hot today to be outside anyway.
An unusually cool